The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
So we mentioned Kamala Harris a little bit earlier today, expected to speak in the next few minutes and address the fact that she is now all but confirmed as top of the Democratic ticket to take on Donald Trump in the race for the White House this coming November. With me now is Tom Del Beccaro. He is the former vice chairman of the Californian Republican Party and author of Lessons of the American Civilization. And David McCaughan as well is the Sonoma State professor. David, you are welcome to the show and thanks a million for speaking to us. What can you tell us about Kamala Harris? Those in our audience may be not too familiar with her beyond the simple title of vice president.
Well, I mean, if you think about Kamala Harris, this is someone who, you know, has given rise, started as an attorney, an assistant district attorney in California, becomes a California attorney general, U.S. senator, vice president. She's had a meteoric rise. She has a record that's been mixed and has they're going to highlight some aspects of this. She also is going to have some challenges. She has some electoral challenges in states like the Rust Belt and the Sun Belt. That makes her vice presidential selection huge. In addition to that, she's also someone who is probably going to be painted as, you know, very close to Nancy Pelosi, very close to California's governor, Gavin Newsom, very close as part of the Biden administration, obviously. It should be an expensive, contentious campaign. She is the de facto nominee. She is someone who has a ton of party advantages. And the next 48 hours are huge for her because the Democratic National Committee, the DNC Rules Committee, will meet on Wednesday to lay out the process for the virtual straw poll that will take place between August 1st and August 7th.
So, I mean, is this a done deal? Is there any way that anybody else ends up top of the ticket? I guess that Gavin Newsom has been talked about immediately after the resignation, or well, the announcement, rather, from Joe Biden. But he's already backed Kamala Harris. Barack Obama hasn't said anything yet, has he?
No, he has not. But that's because what you're seeing here is what you're not seeing is the iceberg. The iceberg is under the surface is that Barack Obama bookends this selection. The same thing with Nancy Pelosi. They put the final touches. Gavin Newsom is not going to run against her. He's one of 12 of 23 Democratic governors that endorsed her. There's 32 Senate Democrats, U.S. senators that endorsed her, over 150 representatives from the House. She also raised $50 million in the last 24 hours. Now, Donald Trump was outspent in 2016 and 2020 by Democrats, by Hillary Clinton, and by Joe Biden. That's not going to happen this time out. So it'll be an expensive record-setting election. That's something to pay attention to. It'll also be hugely contentious and controversial, as I'm sure Tom can relate.
Where are her polling numbers as compared to Donald Trump? Because I know, even though, again, for people at home, even though she's only kind of top of the ticket as of yesterday evening, semi-officially, polling companies have been running her name against Donald Trump for months now. So what do those numbers look like?
Yeah, there's a couple of elements to this. In national polling, she does slightly better than Joe Biden head-to-head against Donald Trump. The problem is those are registered voters in those polls, not likely voters. So it's a different universe, more a margin of error. If you look at swing state polls, it's actually a bit of a more of a mixed message. For example, in Georgia, she does worse than Joe Biden against Donald Trump in Georgia. And she trails Trump substantially in Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania. But those polls, again, registered voter polls. In other polls, in other areas, she's done okay. One, I think, key state to pay attention to is Virginia. Democrats end their convention on the 22nd of August in Chicago. Virginia starts voting less than a month later. Virginia starts voting on the 20th of September, and that's a key battleground state with 11 electoral votes. So for Republicans and Donald Trump, they're spreading the map wider. A 50-state kind of thing. They're looking at states like Minnesota, Virginia, New Hampshire, not just the battleground states that we always talk about, like Arizona and Nevada, Georgia, and the Rust Belt states. For Democrats, they have to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, those 44 electoral votes combined, to get to the number 270. The problem is while J.D. Vance it may be an Ohio resident, he's going to be parked in those three states. So that could influence Kamala Harris's vice presidential selection as well.
Well, let me introduce now Tom DelBaccaro, who would have run against Kamala Harris in a bid for a U.S. Senate seat. Tom, you're welcome to the show. What sort of a campaigner is she?
Well, honestly, she's not done much campaigning in her career. When she became DA of San Francisco, it was handed to her. When she became Attorney General of California, it was handed to her. She did not go out and work the electorate, and she didn't go around the state building her base like a Dianne Feinstein did a generation before. When she ran against me for a U.S. Senate, it is a very lopsided state in voter registration. Again, she did not go out and work it. When she ran for president of the United States back in 2020, I was the first to nationally say she wouldn't even enter the Iowa caucuses. She didn't, because she was fourth in a poll in California, of all places. So she's never had to really bear down and do this. Now, look, they're giving her a Herculean task. She has to somehow put together a national campaign, raise a ton of money, lock down all the endorsements, and be ready for an unprecedented number of questions tomorrow. Very difficult prospect, and she's never actually done this type of thing before.
She's never done it before. She's certainly never done it against the likes of Donald Trump before. How important is it? And I appreciate you're coming from the other side of the fence politically, but if you can kind of set that aside for a moment, how important is it for her and her team that she kind of hits the ground running in that regard? Because already, you know, the attacks from Trump's camp have started.
It's huge. America has a process of vetting these candidates out over an 18, 24-month period. It's not like elections in Europe, which are called and happen in rather short order. Most countries have a single time zone or two. And so you don't have to go through – it doesn't have to be a two-year process. America's really wide, three time zones, lots of 350 million people. So you're supposed to go through this over a year period. That's why I say the task they're giving her is ridiculous. It'd be even more ridiculous if Biden resigned, where some people are calling for, because there's no possible way Kamala or virtually anyone could assume the presidency and run for it in a four-month period.
Let me bring back in David McEwen. David, I mean, are Democrats likely to be more optimistic today than they were this day last week?
Yeah, they are. That's because they've had a rotten kind of couple of weeks, obviously, since the debate. So she does energize and bring in, if you will, a different dynamic for the Democratic Party. The other aspect of this, I think, that Tom hits on is she does do a good job of selling the sizzle out of the gate. So she's had a good 24 hours, but then it's always the follow through about what comes next. When she starts her Senate campaign, U.S. Senate campaign, when she starts her campaign for the Democratic primary, they start strong. It is what happens, say, at time two, or 2 weeks out, or 3 weeks out, or 2 months out. And as Tom mentioned, there isn't a lot of time in this race, right? You're talking about 106 days or so, 2,500 hours, and it's a compressed time frame. That's why the next 48 hours are so critical for her headed into Wednesday, and then exactly the next 2 weeks. Can she maintain that momentum? Perhaps, but that's been her Achilles heel in the past. Nonetheless, she does energize Democrats. She does help with some of those emerging voter subsets, like younger people. The difficulty is that younger people don't vote at high levels. So while she may bring out and be more on the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, it may be problematic for those swing voters or purple people in battleground states.
Tom, does Donald Trump's job become slightly more difficult? I mean, the line of attack against Joe Biden was kind of obvious and became more so as we watched that debate unfold before our eyes a couple of weeks ago. Is it a bit more tricky now? Are they going to kind of go back and rethink how they're going to go at this?
Yes and no. Yes, it's more difficult. And no, I'm worried that they won't. Look, running against Joe Biden and rough and tumbling with a guy of his generation is one thing. But if Donald Trump has a vulnerability nationwide, it is with suburban women. And so he cannot use the same language or the same style when going against a Kamala Harris as he can a Joe Biden. Look, Republicans, the issues favor Republicans almost uniformly, except for abortion. And they and the Democrats actually don't have that big a lead on that particular issue. So this is Trump's to lose. The Hill paper says Trump's up on average in the polling almost 6% across the polls against Kamala. I think she'll get a bump. That will tighten. Mm. But the reality is that he needs to be positive and say Kamala's border policy was not good. Here's how it hurt America. Here's how my what my solution is and how it will change, be better for the country. If he does that, then he can win going away. But if he proceeds to attack her in the same manner that he's attacking Biden, then he's going to tighten this race to his own detriment.
Well, Kamala Harris has certainly learned one lesson from Donald Trump, because the speech he was due to give hasn't started yet. So there's an empty lectern with her name on the news screen on the telecaster for quite a bit of time now, which is something Donald Trump, I know, is very, very good at. Grab the attention and keep them waiting and suck up all the oxygen in the room. So as soon as she gives that speech, we'll let you know what she says, if indeed she says anything strange or startling. On that front, David, I mean, is she likely to come out with new points of attack on Donald Trump, or will it be what the Biden campaign, the campaign they were running? Look at that guy. He's unfit for office.
I think there are two elements to here. They will talk about abortion. They will talk about some of the accomplishments of the Biden administration. But Joe Biden's difficulty at prosecuting the case against Donald Trump in the debate is not a mistake that Kamala Harris is going to make. And I think that's going to be hugely important in the September 10th debate, the second debate. And when those two meet, when Donald Trump, and assuming that Kamala Harris is the Democratic nominee, when they meet September 10th, it's going to be must-watch television, because Kamala Harris will prosecute the case against Donald Trump. But then Donald Trump's going to come right back at her. And to the polling kind of component that Tom mentions, because of racial and gender bias, Kamala Harris needs to be up, not down. And there needs to be a little bit of a bubble there, because there's going to be that aspect of the race that you can't, kind of gloss over. That will require a shift in some of the issues that she covers as well.
Right. Well, listen, we wait with a bated breath to find out what she says in her speech happening on the lawn in front of the White House, crowd of people gathered. And we will let you know if indeed, like I say, she says anything strange or startling. In the meantime, David McEwen is professor and chair in the political science department at Sonoma State University. David, thank you for joining us. And thank you to Tom Del Beccaro, who's the former vice chairman of the California Republican Party and author of Lessons of the American Civilization.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.